We're going to carry on with the series that we've been doing. So we've been looking at relationships. And for the first few Sundays, we looked at what I called questions about relationships. We looked at premarital relationships. The last one we looked at was questions about who a Christian should marry. And we had a few questions that we looked at. I'll call them rhetorical questions because I wasn't expecting you to answer them, but they're questions that I've heard before that, or maybe some people have asked me before, and I thought it'd be good to look at those as the basis for our series at that point. All right, so today we're going to carry on with our relationship series, and today we're looking at the Christian husband. We're looking at the Christian husband. Now, before we begin to look at what the scripture says about the role of the Christian husband, I just wanted to mention a number of things just around the view of popular culture as it comes to the role of a husband, and maybe even the view of popular culture as it relates to marriage generally. But this morning we're looking at the Christian husband. Now, if you look around you, I think there's something that is so subtle that if one doesn't really filter it through the Bible, one might begin to look at the role of the Christian husband, might not see the role of a husband, and even more so the role of a Christian husband in the light that it should be in. Now, what do I mean by that? The role of the typical Christian man who is a husband wants to provide for his family, goes to work, works very hard, sometimes inconveniences himself to make sure his family gets what they want, tries his best to bring up his children in the way that they should be brought up, tries his best to look after his wife, tries his best on a daily basis just to be a good husband as God has prescribed in the Bible. And the thing is that as the regular man does this, nobody really takes notice. In fact, popular culture might look at the role of a husband or a Christian husband and even term it as being old-fashioned. I mean, what is so exciting about you getting up every morning to go to work? What's so exciting about you trying to fend for your family? What's so exciting about you being concerned about your wife or your children? Nothing, the world might say. Popular culture might even say, that's just so boring. And because that is the perspective that popular culture has about the husband and the Christian husband, it's like, that's old-fashioned. What's there to aspire to? You and I might begin to put the role of the Christian husband in the wrong place. And I'm going to make a point in a minute before we actually start looking at all the other points I'm going to discuss this morning. Now, if you think what I'm saying is a bit far-fetched, you stop any teenage boy walking on the road now. Just pop out to Broadmead, pop out to anywhere that you have teenage boys, and ask them, what do you want your life to be when you grow up? What do you want to be? Who's your role model? If you give them 10 choices or 10 trials, I can almost guarantee you that not all of them will tell you, I want to grow up so that when I get married, I can look after my wife, I can look after my children, I can do this, I can get up in the morning even when I don't feel like going. What the average young boy will tell you is that, you know what? Thank you for asking me that question. When I grow up, first of all, I want to have this nice fancy car. Nothing wrong with that. I want to do this. I want to make sure I travel. I want to make sure I have a lot of money. I mean, nothing wrong with that if you work hard. Then you now ask them, so how about marriage? Marriage. I think I'll leave that when I'm old, when I've lived my life and I have nothing else to do. Then I'll think about marriage. So what am I saying here? Popular culture views the role of a Christian husband or husband has been old-fashioned. It's something that you do something you're almost forced into, something that you really don't have a choice because your mother will say, you know, why haven't you, you know, got my... So it's not something that pop culture sees as being something to aspire to. Do you understand? That's why when you see a lot of young boys now, when they grow up, marriage is not even on their mind. And even if it is at all, husband, looking after children, well, what do you mean by that? Why? It's not their fault. Popular culture has made it that way. Popular culture has diminished the role of the husband. Said the role of a husband is for old men who have nothing to do. It's for granddaddies and grandmommies. Who needs that? Do you understand? That is how popular culture views the role of the husband. No value whatsoever. Do you understand? That's why nobody seems to be interested in that kind of thing. It's like you're talking about marriage. What do you mean by that? But one thing is this. God sees it in a completely different view. Do you know, I was thinking about something a couple of days ago that, I don't know, when you look at like the Grammy Awards, for example, as an example, analogy, and they're saying best performing artist, and, you know, the whole world is watching. You have millions of people who are tuned in. Best gospel performing artist. The whole world is looking. And the best performing gospel artist runs up and takes the award and everybody cheers. They say best this and best that. And they're all cheering. The next guy goes up or the next woman goes up and says, thank you, I've won this award. I want to thank, and they do all that. Do you understand? Do you know that when God calls the roll call in heaven, when we are all gathered together and they begin to say, let's welcome those who have, you know, and they're welcoming and they're, I mean, I'm not quite sure that's how it's going to be. And they're putting, God is putting the value and all the angels are cheering. Who do you think they'll be cheering? Do you think they're going to be cheering that chap who has loads of money, has about three girlfriends? All of them have like two kids for him each. He doesn't even remember anything about them because he doesn't live with them. Do you think that's the person that they're going to be cheering? Let me tell you who God is going to be cheering. God is going to be cheering the ordinary Christian or ordinary husband who woke up every morning, went to a job, even though he didn't want to go sometimes, forced himself to go. The money that he made, he used that money to bring up his kids, or he used the money to pay rent so that his wife won't suffer or be homeless. That's the person that they'll be saying, let this person come. So they'll say, oh, today in front of the millions of angels, in front of the thousands of saints, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, everybody's watching. Who's going to come up now? And they say, wow, let's welcome the husband. And they say, Brother Flo. And it'll be like that. They'll say, Brother Ugo. Why? It is the ordinary guy who wakes up in the morning and does the things that are, in the eyes of pop culture, boring, irrelevant, old-fashioned. That's it. Do you understand what I mean? That is it. So what am I saying here? I'm saying here that popular culture has really put us in a way that the role of the husband is just not valued. You understand? That's why you see some young boys nowadays, they get married, they have no idea about what to do whatsoever. I'm telling you, no idea whatsoever. Why? Because popular culture has just made the role of the husband old-fashioned, nothing to be aspired to. Boring. But God doesn't look at it that way. Not at all. If you look at Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. The Bible begins to tell us something there about God's view. So we want to view things the way God does. It says, there is a way that appears to be right, but in the end it leads to death. So popular culture views the role of a husband in a particular way. But God doesn't view it that way. God cherishes that role. So as a man, it is something to aspire towards. As a man, it is something to be proud of. That, look, you know what? I'm going to try to be the best husband I can be. I'm going to force myself to obey God's word concerning this. Why? Because on that day, God is going to cheer you up. God is going to receive you. God is going to give you a reward because God values that. So that's the first thing I want to put out there today. So that as our young men grow up, their perspective is not, I don't want to start naming all these pop stars. I want to be like that so I can have. No. It should be, I want to be a good husband. I want to be a good father. That is my, that is my thing. Now, so I just wanted to put that out there. So for God, it's of great value, as opposed to what popular culture thinks. Now, the second point I want to make, still kind of like working on that, is this. The role of the husband, of a husband, is so important to God. And is so valuable to God that, do you know what? He uses it as one of the criteria to call people into ministry. If you look at, let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. We're looking at the value of the husband to God. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 to 5. He begins to say that here is a trustworthy saying. Whosoever wants to be an overseer, King James says bishop, desires a noble task. Now, the overseer is to be above reproach, faithful to his wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not violent but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him. And he must do this in a manner worthy of full respect. So, if we were to say, to become a chief executive officer in Microsoft, for example, or if you are going to be the president of a nation, you know there are certain criteria that people have. It might be one, you've been part of that party for a long time. The people like you. You can really speak. When you speak, people are just mesmerized. All those things might be there. Do you understand? To become the president, to become this or that. But do you know that one of the qualifications that God says here is not that you should be a good speaker, not that you should be a prolific writer, not that you should be a millionaire, not none of those things. God uses the fact that, look, you need to be a good husband. The point I'm making is that God values it so much that he even includes that as a criteria for office. So we're not looking at the criteria here to be a bishop or a pastor or whatever. But I'm just saying that God values it so much that he uses it as a criteria, part of the things to look for. Do you understand? So what am I saying here? What I'm just pointing out here is that God really esteems that role of a husband. So that's the second thing. Now, I'm going to mention a number of points here. But the third thing I want to mention this morning is this. The role of a husband is not an easy one at all. It is not an easy role at all. It's not an easy role. If you doubt what I'm saying, ask any husband. It is not an easy role. Now, but the thing we need to realize is this. All these things that we're saying that God says a husband should be, God isn't expecting that we're going to do it by our own strength. God expects that we will rely on Him to give us the strength to be good husbands. Or should I say, the strength to be the husbands that God wants us to be. Do you understand what I mean? Now, Psalm 121 verse 1. What am I saying here? I'm saying we need God's help to be good husbands, or to be the husbands that God wants us to be. It's not something that we just wake up and it happens. No, we have to depend on God for it. And Psalm 121 verse 1 says, a song of ascents, I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? Verse 2, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. So I don't want this to be a motivational talk where I just say, you know what? Yeah. Sorry, my voice is different. I think I'm shouting too much. I don't want it to be a motivational talk where I say, all right, this is what it takes to be a good husband. And this is what God wants us to do. And we leave here and we get home and He just say, my goodness, this is so difficult. No. God isn't saying we should just come on, go and do it. No. He's saying, look, let's look to Him. So all these things are values that we should aspire to. Do you understand? And they're things that we'll continue to aspire to till we die. But what God is saying here is this. To be the husband that God wants us to be is not entirely left to you. God is saying, look, let Him help you. Do you understand? Because to be, you know, as we've, on a realistic perspective, it's not easy to be the husband that God wants us to be. We'll look at a number of things. And some of these things are almost impossible, to be honest, except by the power of God. So I've said popular culture doesn't view the role of a husband to be like a very fashionable one. But I've said in God's eyes, the husband he views the husband as being very valuable. Do you understand? And if we see any of our young boys, you know, behaving in a manner that is not according to what the Bible says with regards to the husband, the role of a husband, it's probably because they don't know. Probably because that is what popular culture has taught. Do you understand? But God really values that role. So I've said the third thing is that God wants us to like really help. Sorry, look to Him for help for this. Now, so we begin to look at some of the things that the Christian husband should do. So the first one we're looking at, which is the fourth point here, is this. The Christian husband, or should I say the husband, should provide financially for his household. What do I mean by that? Someone might say, this is a modern society. What do you mean? Are you saying that when the guy gets married, he should be the one that provides for his family? How about his wife? Is she just going to put her leg up and not do anything? I mean, this is an egalitarian society. Everybody has to chip in. Yes, I agree with you. However, there is a difference between being responsible for something and someone helping you. Do you understand what I mean by that? There is a big difference between being responsible for something and someone helping you with something. Now, let's look at the case of Adam. Genesis chapter 2 verse 15. Genesis chapter 2 verse 15. God did something with Adam before Eve came on the scene. He says, the Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it. So what we're saying here is that as a husband, God expects you to go out and work any kind of job to ensure that you provide for your family. Some people will say, you know what? I did this. That's not my field. I'm looking for the job that, you know, fits this, my whatever. And you can't pay your rent. And your wife is at home. And your kids are at home. They're thinking, are we going to be thrown out? And you, the man, you're saying, No, you don't do that. You do whatever. Even if you want to sleep on the streets, you go and sleep on the streets as the husband. But your children must not. Your wife must not. Do you get what I mean? So, what am I saying here? There is a difference between the responsibility of providing and when someone helps you to provide. What do I mean by that? Now, People might say this is old-fashioned, but no problem. I'm just looking at what the Bible says here. This means that as a husband, you should pay the rent for your house. Pay the bills for your house. You are responsible to ensure that you provide a place for your wife and your kids to live without putting them under pressure. Now, there are times that a man might be out of work. No problem. We know that happens sometimes. But I'm not talking about a man that is out of work and is looking for work. I'm talking about a man who has said, I'm not going to work. Let my wife go out and work. Let me chill. Do you understand what I mean? You can't do that as a husband. So that's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the guy who maybe he hasn't had a job for a long time or he's searching. We understand that. And in that time, his wife has got a job or she goes out and she happens to get a job and she's helping the family and all that. That's fine. But not that the man is saying, you know what, I'm going to chill, let my wife be, you know. No, that's not the way it works. The man has to take responsibility for that. And the advice I give as well is this. But this is just advice. I'm of the opinion that when a couple get married, you know what I mean, husband and wife, that they should, if they can, they should structure their finances in such a way. They shouldn't buy so many expensive things that they need all the time a double income to survive. I believe that from a point of wisdom, when a couple gets married, they should structure their finances in such a way that the man's earnings can take care of everybody. So that if, for example, your wife doesn't... if, for example, your wife wants to take a break and not go to work, she can. I know some men are going to be like, what do you mean by that, Pastor? My wife has to work. And I'll tell you something in a minute. So that if your wife says, you know what, my dear, for the next 3 months, I'm really tired. I want to take a break. You should do it. Structure your finances in such a way that she can. You're responsible. If your wife wants to help, you know, with the bills and all these things, then she should. But it should not be that you are harassing your wife and saying you must do it. No, she must not. If you knew you didn't want to be responsible, then why did you get married? Why did you get married as a husband? Do you understand? Why did you get married? So the morale is this. God expects that as a husband, you are responsible for your wife and your kids. And if your wife wants to, and you, nobody should use this against their husband. If your wife says, look, I want to take a break. I want to chill out. Then she should be able to do so. Why? Because you are responsible. I tell you. And that's it. So that's not old-fashioned. It's Bible-fashioned. All right? You are responsible. So before you get married, make sure you think properly. And you know that if your wife wants to kick her legs up and all that, then she should be able to do it. Because she knows that you do whatever it takes to make it happen for them. All right, I'm going to stop there today. And we'll carry on from next week. But what am I saying this morning? I'm saying this morning that being a husband, the way God wants us to be husbands, is not an easy task at all. At all. We'll look at some things next week. That's why God says, you know what? Turn to me. And as a husband, you know, husbands, we put up like really bold faces up sometimes. You know, things are up and down and your wife says, what are we going to do? And you say, nothing. You know, we're good. But inside, you know that, man, you're like, God, what's happening here? God wants you to depend on him. He wants you and I to depend on him. And I can guarantee you that as we begin to follow the principles of God in terms of being the husbands that God wants us to be, God will help us. I'm telling you, God will help us. He will not leave us alone. He will not leave you alone. Amen? Amen. We'll just end there and we'll pray.